Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. How are you today? I hope you are fine. With me, Rivai, and I'll accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we would like to present some programs started with news, commentary, and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. Stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia and Poland committed to enhance inter-parliamentary cooperation. Indonesian military commander asserts solidity with police in addressing May riots. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pane. The parliaments of Indonesia and Poland have committed themselves to increase inter-parliamentary cooperation through the Poland-Indonesia Bilateral Cooperation Group, GKSB. According to GKSB Chair Danuta Petra Jeskwa, the commitment was conveyed by Petra Jeskwa during a meeting with Indonesian Ambassador to Poland Siti Nugraha Mauludia and seven members of the Polish Parliament who participated in the GKSB at the Indonesian Embassy in Warsaw on Wednesday, according to a statement from the Indonesian Embassy on Thursday. The Indonesian ambassador praised the collaboration between the parliaments of Poland and Indonesia in recent years through the exchange of parliamentary visits. Ambassador Siti Nugraha also suggested that meetings between Indonesia's representatives and Poland-Indonesia Bilateral Cooperation Group in Poland should be held every 6 months to discuss the latest developments in relations between both countries. Indonesian military commander Air Chief Marshal Hadi Cahyanto stressed the solidity of the national military and the national police in handling the case of 21 to 22 May riot. The alleged involvement of a number of retired officers, according to Hadi on Thursday, would not disturb the cooperation built between the military and police. He noted that the retired military officers were no longer part of the military as they have returned to being civilians upon completing their military duties. However, according to Cahyanto, he maintains communications with retired officers. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Police Chief General Tito Karnavian said the importance of building solidity with the military is to ensure the unity of the Republic despite some discomfort. However, he added, based on the principles of equality before the law, every case against retired military or police officers must be addressed based upon the law. The Indonesian Employers Association APINDO emphasized the importance of improving labor legislation to increase employment in Indonesia. This was conveyed by APINDO Chairman Hariyadi Sukamdhani on Thursday after meeting the President at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. He said that so far, capital-intensive industries have often become main industry in the last 10 years, while labor-intensive industries have declined. This has caused many labor-intensive industries to move their business to other countries in the Asian region. It is necessary for the government to review our labor law, because this law has not been submitted to the Constitutional Court for 15 times. It is also true that it is no longer compatible with the current conditions. So if we look at it now, it is precisely the labor-intensive players whose large export value has been shifted, namely to Vietnam, to Myanmar, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and also Cambodia. Even Laos has now begun to prepare. On the same occasion, the Indonesian Employers Association also said that the government would no longer be fragmented by egocentric ministries and institutions. According to Hariyadi Sukamdhani, this is related to the regulations of ministries and institutions that often collide. Another thing that was also a concern at the meeting between the President and APINDO was the existence of promotional funds. The Trade Ministry will allow 5 more companies to import garlic after issuing import permits to 15 companies to import 256,000 tons. Director General of Foreign Trade of the Trade Ministry, OK Nurwan, said in Jakarta on Thursday that permits to import 256,000 tons of garlic have been issued for 15 companies and permits will be issued to 5 other companies that have filed applications. In addition to the 20 companies, the Trade Ministry received a report that 12 other companies have been recommended to import horticultural products, RIPH, from the Agriculture Ministry. RIPH serves as the basis for companies to obtain permits to import horticultural products. The import permits are expected to guarantee garlic supplies until the end of 2019. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman said that floods that hit a number of Indonesian regions did not disrupt national rice food stocks. Andi Amran in Kendari, South Sulawesi, said on Thursday that the national rice stock is currently 2.3 million tons distributed in a number of warehouses owned by Bulog. It was acknowledged that floods that damaged a number of rice production centers were quite disturbing because some of the rice fields failed to harvest. But the crop failures of the farmers because of flooding were covered by some areas which were, in fact, a massive harvest. The Ministry of Tourism invites students in Batam City, Riau Islands, to pursue various fields of work in the tourism sector to support the development of the sector. Head of the Tourism Subsector for Human Resources Development, Alvin Merancia, in the Ghost Campus Human Resources Training Base in Batam on Thursday, said that tourism is one of the national priority sectors. He said, at present, foreign exchange from tourism is the second largest. According to Alvin, the tourism industry is very potential to be developed. Even in the 2020, he believes tourism will be the biggest contributor to Indonesia's foreign exchange. For the first time, Yogyakarta was honored to host the International Chess Championship, the JAFA Grandmaster and Women Grandmaster Chess Tournament 2019. The championship owned by the chairman of PB Percasi, Utut Adianto, was attended by 24 world chess players from 9 countries plus host Indonesia. Utut Adianto hopes that the chess championship held on June 13 to 21 can boost the value of the elite rating. At the same time, the names of Indonesian chess players who descend on the JAFA tournament. There are 6 men chess players and 6 women chess players. The woman participates in the women's grandmaster tournament, while the man participates in the men grandmaster. We hope some men players will get the grandmaster nom or international master noms. And for the women, they can get nom grandmasters and women international masters. Using the Swiss 9-round system, this year's JAFA Grandmaster and Women Grandmaster Chess Tournament invites a number of chess players with high ELO rating values, such as Grandmaster Dmitry Kokarev from Russia with a rating of 2,609, Grandmaster Ivan Sokolov from the Netherlands with 2,595 points, and Grandmaster Susanto Megaranto, who has a rating of 2,548 points. While in the women's sector, there are France Sophie Mallet, international master, with an ELO rating of 2,415 points, Kong Kyung Yun from Singapore with 2,381 points, and woman grandmaster Medina Warda Aulia, who scored 2,375 points. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. But the topic of today's commentary is, who is the next British Prime Minister? 1 week ago, June 7, 2019, British Prime Minister Theresa May announced her resignation from the position of chairwoman of the Conservative Party. That means that the position of the Prime Minister of England is automatically vacant, because the leader of the majority party or coalition of parties winning the general election occupies the position of the prime minister. Theresa May still sits as a prime minister until the election of a Conservative Party chairperson. May resigned because several times her reports convinced the parliament that the UK left the European Union with an agreement not to reach the expected support. Theresa May's resignation opens opportunities for several party chairman candidates such as Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt, who is currently serving as Minister of Foreign Affairs, or Michael Gove, who is serving as Minister of the Environment. Boris Johnson is a supporter of the hard Brexit, which is to leave the European Union without a deal. Others may compromise with Brexit. This is a challenge if Boris Johnson wins. On October 31st, this means that the British will leave. Whereas, if the Conservative leader is more inclined to the agreement, the United Kingdom must renegotiate with the European Union. But that does not mean that the problem has been resolved, because the European Union also seems not to open new opportunity to the agreement. Why? Because at least Theresa May has tried to build an agreement with the European Union, but instead of having no support from the British Parliament. In the Parliament, there are three camps. Some Conservative members support hard Brexit. Labour support Brexit with an agreement. There are some Conservative members supporting Brexit with an agreement. This is what caused May not to get the majority support. Now, the problem is entirely dependent on the British Parliament. They will actually determine who the next British Prime Minister is. The chosen Prime Minister means Brexit with or without agreement. Well, listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from a historical event which occurred on June 14, 1982. Argentine soldiers surrendered to the United Kingdom in Falkland War. The Falkland Islands War, or the Malvinas, is a two-month war between Argentina and the United Kingdom over the Falkland Islands, South Georgia, and the South Sandwich Islands. The war ended with Argentina's surrender on June 14, 1982, after 3 weeks of British amphibious operations and ground operations in East Falkland Island. During the war, 649 Argentine soldiers and 255 British soldiers, as well as three Falkland civilians, were killed. The document of the surrender of the Argentine army in the Falkland is now stored at the Imperial War Museum, London. The diplomatic relations between Britain and Argentina only recovered in 1989 after the two countries agreed to no longer discuss the island sovereignty issues. We turn to an event on June 14, 1985. The Schengen Agreement was signed by Belgium, France, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, and West Germany to abolish border control between countries. On June 14, 1985, the Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, Luxembourg, and France signed the Schengen Agreement. In this agreement, various joint policy rules were included for short-term entry permits, including Schengen visas, alignment of border controls, and cross-border police cooperation. Within the Schengen area, border posts and controls have been removed and Schengen visas issued. Passport and visa holders of the countries that have implemented the Schengen Agreement can freely enter the territory of fellow countries. At present, the Schengen Agreement has been signed by 22 European Union member countries and 4 non-European Union countries. We end with an event of World Blood Donor Day, celebrated on June 14 annually. The World Blood Donor Day is commemorated on June 14 every year based on the agreement of the World Health Organization, the International Federation of the Red Cross and the Red Crescent, the International Federation of Blood Donor Organizations and the International Blood Transfusion Association. The determination was intended as an expression of appreciation for voluntary blood donors throughout the world who have selflessly helped save millions of human lives in need of blood. The celebration of World Blood Donor Day is celebrated for the first time on June 14, 2004. The day refers to Carl Landsteiner's birthday, who was born on June 14, 1868. Landsteiner was a scientist who won the Nobel Prize for his large discovery of the ABO blood type system. That was today in history.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was sung And you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 33.25 kHz and website www.voinews.id. In Indonesia Today's edition, I'd like to give you information about Indonesia and of course in my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Indonesia, Britain establish cooperation to strengthen economic regulation. Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs has collaborated with the British government to strengthen regulatory reform for economic growth in Indonesia. The collaboration was formalized through the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding on the development of regulatory reform in Indonesia, which took place in Jakarta on Wednesday, June 12. Secretary of the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Susi Wiono, explained that one of the manifestations of the cooperation is in the form of technical assistance valuating £1.14 million. Susi Wiono stressed that this technical assistance will be effective for 5 years until March 31, 2023. The assistance comes from grants from the Foreign Office and the Commonwealth of the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland, which are channeled through the British government's welfare fund. The funds are managed by the International Regulatory Services Unit, the Ministry of Business, Energy and Industry Strategy of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. The signing of the Memorandum of Understanding will be followed up with workshops related to the post-border and product market surveillance regime in Indonesia. The implementation is in the form of information exchange, programs, education, training, seminars, and capacity building. Later on, both parties will form a specific and detailed work plan which will be reviewed annually. Susi Wiono ensured that the technical assistance program was flexible to respond to the development of priority issues from the Indonesian government. Susi Wiono hopes this cooperation program will bring improvements of regulations to improve the investment climate. Therefore, inclusive economic growth can increase along with a decline in poverty rate in Indonesia. Meanwhile, British Ambassador to Indonesia Muazzam Malik said that Indonesia is a country with great potential. However, to maximize this potential, hard work is needed. Ambassador Muazzam Malik said that Britain was one of the countries that Indonesia could use to source knowledge because it had received a number of international acknowledgements. In addition, the United Kingdom has very good regulatory system, including economic regulation. Through this new collaboration program, the ambassador said, the United Kingdom is ready to share its expertise with partners in Indonesia in synergizing and implementing regulations in accordance with the market needs in Indonesia. That was today's My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tak apa terjadi. Kita terus maju.
Yakini diriku, yakini dirimu.
Semesta kan bantu.
Merakit mimpiku, merakit mimpimu.
Well, listener, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, at website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, see you again at Indonesia Wonder with me, Ahmad Faisal. Today, I'm going to introduce you Batu Kumbang Beach. Listeners, being directly adjacent to the west with the Indian Ocean makes Bengkulu awarded a beautiful row of beaches. Take for example, one of them is Batu Kumbang Beach, which is located in Pulau Baru Village, Ipuh District, Mukomuko Regency, Bengkulu Province. The distance is 189 kilometers from Bengkulu City. You can use land transportation to this beach. Arriving at Batu Kumbang, you will be greeted by a calm atmosphere with beautiful natural scenery and fine white sand. Listeners, arriving at Batu Kumbang, you can walk along the coastline for 2 kilometers. Interestingly, along the coastline, you will find hundreds of towering sea pine trees. Occasionally, at the end of the beach, you will see a small boat anchoring. At that location, it is indeed a dock for local village fishermen to anchor. You can also feel the freshness of Batu Kumbang Beach by swimming on this beach. Listeners, besides its beautiful nature, Batu Kumbang Beach is also the location of landing 4 types of turtles, or katung in Bengkulu language. They are green turtles, leatherback turtles, lekang turtles, and hawksbill turtles. The 4 types of turtles routinely make a nest to lay their eggs. Not far from the beach, about 75 meters away, you can see a permanent building called Sea Turtle House. The building is used as place for captive hatchlings or baby turtles. If you are lucky, you can also release turtles. Listeners, this is today's edition of Indonesia Wonder with the topic of Batu Kumbang Beach. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic.
Kecewa melandamu, ku ingin hilang sebentar saja, tapi ku tak bisa lakukan itu. Aku tertahan rasa sayang. Maafkanlah ku lupa diri. Hanya kamu yang buat aku luluh selamanya begitu. Takkan pernah ada jenuh karena hatimu. Kamu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much, Voice listener. We have listened a wonderful song, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. A listener would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happened in Indonesia.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about Indonesia wins global winner L'Oreal Brandstorm Challenge Paris. Stay tuned. The Indonesian delegation once again made the nation's name more international. The Ponik team, consisting of 3 students from ITB School of Electrical and Informatics Engineering, won global winner in the L'Oreal Brandstorm Challenge 2019 competition in Paris. The 3 students are Johan Purnomo, Rifda Anelis, and Albert Sahala Theodore. The competition was attended by 65 countries with more than 40,000 student participants from all over the world. Its participants took part in the selection stage in their respective countries, and the winner from each country departed to Paris to take part in the international final. Albert Sahala, as the team leader, said that the Ponik teams carried a product called S-Band, which is integrated with mobile applications to provide early detection to parents related to eczema disease in their children. Moreover, repackaging of La Roche-Posay Lipikar Baume AP Plus is easy to be used by children when the symptoms of eczema arise. Eczema is an irritating disease and skin rash starts from childhood. This disease causes not only visible physical problems, but also psychological and psychosocial problems for sufferers. For this year's global final L'Oreal Brandstorm Challenge, every country representative had to pitch the products which they brought to 3 jury groups. Afterwards, the judges conducted an objective online assessment so that the 6 representatives of the country obtained the value that they composed. The Ponik team, as a representative from Indonesia, was chosen as one of the 6 representatives of the country who finally presented their products at the main stage or final stage, and the products were assessed directly by top executive from L'Oreal. The Ponik team was finally selected to be the winner of the 2019 Global Final Brandstorm Challenge. Albert Sahala, as the team leader, said that in addition to direct prizes, the team got an opportunity to take part in an entrepreneurship award program at Station F, the world's largest startup campus. That was Miss Lenny for today. See you on the next edition.
kepadamu. Sembilan puluh sembilan persen jatuh cinta. Ku menunggu tanda-tanda cinta itu darimu agar ku yakin 100% padamu. Maaf kau terlalu lama menunggu, bukan ku sengaja ingin menggantung, tapi ada sesuatu di dada yang gak bisa terucap dengan mudah. Cinta kurang 1%.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku rapuh kenyataan. Jalani semua walau tak bisa, cintaimu sepenuh jiwa. Aku
wonderful song, and you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kilohertz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, next segment, I'd like to give you information about the music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we will play a regional song from Riau. The song from Riau is introduced in international musical industry by a singer from Africa, namely Miriam Makeba. Although the composer of the song is unknown until now, the song gives good moral education for Indonesian youth. The song contains some advice for children who are going to sleep. The advice is mandate to protect their honor and to maintain shamefulness as their culture. In addition to civilizing the shamefulness, the song Soleram also has educational lyrics to always maintain relationship and to avoid war among communities. The lyric of the song are close with advice in a bid to preserve culture that reflect national identity. Listener, here is GNP with the song Soleram.
Soleram, soleram, soleram.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our Together Death in English Language program broadcasting. Thank you very much for your attention. We'll give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. And listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, or our Instagram account voice_of_Indonesia. And you can visit our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia or to our email voi@voinews.id.